Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And then you're out of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Radio. Today we have a guest, Apostle Jim Maddox. We were actually scheduled for yesterday morning, but due to unforeseen circumstances, I ended up missing it. So I apologize to everybody. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I got that out of the way. Now, Apostle Jim Maddox has spent the last 32 years in apostolic ministry, walking in spiritual warfare while fanning revival fires. Now that gets my interest, because I know deep down in my soul, I know that God is going to have a last day revival. Some people call it the Great Awakening. Some people call it whatever they want, but the fact of the matter is, it is going to come to pass. And I know it because God has showed that to me, and I'm sure he'll show it to Jim. But nonetheless, instead of me keep talking, let me introduce our guest this morning, Apostle Jim Maddox. Good morning, Jim. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. Just what an honor to be here. I want to thank you for inviting me to come on the show with you today. And I just appreciate what you're doing. And I said that Satan's a prince and power of the air, and we're just going to violate his airspace a little bit this morning.
Yeah. Well, he has a tendency to try to stop us from time to time, but, you know, I read the end of the book, we win. And
that's right.
I've also found that if I'm persistent and I don't give up and I don't quit, we win. You know, there's been many times he's tried to stop either a Facebook Live or Roku TV or Blog Talk radio program. He's tried to stop it, and he's failed every time.
All right. Because
he that is in me is stronger than he that is in the world, and I just don't give up. So I am honored to have you as our guest today. Now, before we scheduled the program, we had discussed a little bit what you would want to talk about today. And you said the power of unmovable faith.
Yes, sir.
I like that. I teach on faith all the time. I like it.
Yes.
You know, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is
Amen.
The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of the unseen. Faith is, people say, well, you got blind faith. I'm like, yeah. Is there any other kind?
Amen. Amen.
So go ahead and expound on that a little bit for us.
All right. All right. Again, like I said, I thank you for letting me be on here today. And, there's so many today that are, seems like they're just kind of grasping about and wondering. There's, you know, we're right now, certainly not to get political, but we're in a time of confusion with many people here in America. And, you know, we've had 2020 has been an upheaval of things going on. And so many people that are professing believers, and I believe they are believers to whatever degree, but they are struggling with where's God in 2020? And, you know, and my answer has been he's the same place he's always been. God hadn't changed. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so one of the things that I see that makes people struggle so much, Ken, is that they somehow come to the conclusion that faith and their beliefs are of the same vein, and that's not necessarily always true. You know, faith goes way beyond what we believe. An elder minister that I used to know, he used to always say, you can believe all day long, sun's not going to come up in the morning, but if God says it's coming up, it's coming up. And so it goes beyond our beliefs. And so I struggled for years with exactly what is faith. And when I say for years, I literally mean for years, trying to separate that thought there of the difference between belief and faith. And so, you know, there's been times that that we call something faith because we feel it so strong or we want it so bad. And faith doesn't always even have tangible roots into need. So one day I decided, God, I've got to know. Of course, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter, right? And all the heroes of the faith there in Hebrews 11. And it begins, of course, I'm an old King James guy, and it begins out, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And, you know, and I just begin to assimilate those words. And the first thing that I want to say is that it begins with now faith is. And that is a relative term to what we're thinking about, is that, or what we're talking about here this morning. Now faith is. It's not tomorrow, next week, or last week, or we need to have a now faith, a right now faith. And just because we don't see a manifestation of that right now, it still is. And so it says it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I ask this a lot of times, people, of substance and evidence. How is our belief substance and evidence? You know, if you are going to get if you've been charged with a crime and you go to court and the judge asks for the evidence, if there's nothing that they can present that is tangible evidence, then you don't have a case. If someone's been charged with if they get a moonshiner and take him in and they have no substance, well, then it's just an allegation, right? And because the substance becomes the evidence. And so there's something there that I was having trouble wrapping my mind around. So I actually went on a fast, and a lot of people don't understand that concept today, but it simply means to abstain from food. You know, there's people say, well, I'm going to fast from the internet. And I guess you can do that. And you could fast from Dr. Peppers or Coke or maybe chocolate pie, but he's really, when they fasted in the Bible, they pushed the plate back, and they actually afflicted their bodies that they could hear from heaven. And there's people today that don't believe in that, but the Bible still backs it up. But anyway, so I went on a fast, and it was for this particular purpose right here, because there was a conflict in me. One of the first things that I saw in the scripture was all of these healings and all of these things that were taking place in the Bible. And then I looked at the church and I thought, you know what? This doesn't look the same. I'm seeing a difference here in the two of these. And so I said, God, why is this? Why is it? And God said, well, I need somebody that'll walk it out. I need somebody that will believe what my word says, and they'll walk by faith and not by sight. And I remember as a brand new Christian saying, I will. And God said, okay. And I remember when the spirit, God spoke that into me, okay. He accepted my acceptance of his challenge, so to speak. And I remember feeling the weight of responsibility of that. And I thought, uh-oh, what did I just do? What did I just agree to? And although I wanted to, I knew there were so many things about it that I didn't understand. And so, I want to say this before I go into that, is that when I got saved just before I was 30 years old. So I was one of these hard-headed fellas. God had called me at 19 years old to preach, and I didn't even know anybody that was saved. And I knew people were having church out there, but I didn't know those folks. And I knew a few people that went to church, but they lived just like I did. And so I thought, you know, I didn't even really know what that concept meant in actuality. I knew about Jesus. I never doubted the stories about Jesus. I never doubted there was a God. Just wasn't sure where it fit in my life. And so God called me to preach at 19. And I had a Bible that I got for Christmas in 1965 that had pages that had never been turned in it. And I kind of jokingly say a lot of times that at that point, I didn't even know where to find John 3:16, right? And it was in there, but I didn't know where. And so I ran. I remember telling one person when God called me to preach that God called me to preach, and they kind of laughed at me. They're like, yeah, right. And, you know, I was so, I hate to say it, but I was I was embarrassed because I could not explain that experience that I just had. And it was simply God spoke to me and said, I want you to preach my gospel. And I couldn't explain that. There was nothing, no way I could explain it because I didn't even know what his gospel was. And so it was so foreign to the world that I lived in that I just ran. I just grew my hair longer in the 70s and turned the music up louder and did my thing, right? But then 10 years later, God visited me profoundly a second time, and I yielded to the call. And so when I came into the church, I was their token bad boy. And, you know, it was one of these holiness Pentecostal churches that we only wore white shirts and long sleeves, and you couldn't even have a pinstripe in your shirt, right? And so I went from one extreme all the way over to the other, and I had a big Pancho Villa mustache, and my suits were like Miami Vice suits, and wearing red tennis shoes, and I show up in the church, and they didn't know what to do with me, and I sure didn't know what to do with them. And so, as I said, I began to read in the Bible and just pour myself into it because I knew I was way behind. And so I ran across this, all of these things in the Gospels, and God said, I need somebody that will walk this out. So fast forwarding back to where I was a little bit ago, I went on this fast and I asked God, I said, God, what exactly is faith? Because I'm reading what it says here in Hebrews, and I read what these people did, and I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do, but God, I got to know how to do it. I've got to know, I don't want to do it wrong, and I don't get it. I just flat out don't get it. And I'd also read in the Bible where it said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally. He'll let you have the wisdom that you need if you'll ask him. And so
translation of that verse says he'll give it freely, which, hey, we can all afford that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to throw in my chair.
There you go. Well, I asked him and I said, God, I need to know. I need to know because, you know, I already agreed to do this. And, you know, even before I was saved, I did everything I could to be a man of my word. And so I said, God, I need to do this, and I don't want to be a liar. I sure don't want to lie to God. And so as I began to fast and pray, God revealed to me what faith was. I grabbed hold of it, and this is what he said. He said, faith is having prayed through. That's a concept that we don't hear very much anymore, but it simply means you pray until you get your connection with God. If that's 5 minutes, if it's an hour, if it's days, or if it's weeks, whatever it is, you keep praying until you get God. And so, you know, we sing the song, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. But in reality, most people they've not yet made the connection. And I'm talking about church folks. And I'm not being critical of the church. I'm just saying that's where a lot of us live. And so God said this. He said, faith is having prayed and heard from God and then removing every other option. So I realized right then, faith is a revelation of God's will, that we pray until we hear from heaven and we allow God to speak to us. I like what one man says. He said, God is a talking God with a talking book, and he desires to talk to us. And, you know, I'm thankful, Brother Ken, that God is still on speaking terms with his people. And
amen.
So faith is praying until we hear from God We get our instruction, and then we remove every other option. It's not negotiable. It's not, let me just go do the best I can. You know, it's like they say about the commandments. It's not eight commandments and two, do the best you can. It's 10 commandments. So we pray, we hear from God, and then we remove everything to the contrary. And we focus on what God said. And so then every action that we do moves toward accomplishing what God has said about it. When I look at faith like that, you know, I'm one of these, like most people, I overeat when I go to a buffet, right? Because there's so many options and there's so many things that just look absolutely delectable, you know. And when I get my plate full and I'm walking on down the line, then I see that fried okra. Man, I need a little bit of that. And I go a little further, and man, but look at these Brussels sprouts. I need a little bit of that. And I didn't see that chicken a while ago. So I end up, you know, we need sideboards on our plate, right? And then we're struggling to try to eat it all. And so, and I believe we're like that in our faith also, that, but from not a productive stand, but that there's so many things that we want, we'll circle our desires around what we want rather than what God has said. And so when we begin to walk in what God has said, that's where we find rest for our souls. Hebrews says, when we cease from our labors and we enter into Him, we enter into His rest right there. And so faith also is void of selfishness. And we begin to move in the areas of the revelation of God's will, and things begin to happen. And not things that we do, but God does let us be connected to what He's doing. And so, you know, I remember years ago, we're going back probably 22 years now, my wife and I I was struggling with some things in ministry. I'd left this one movement that I had been in and was going in another direction in ministry and trying to find some traction. And this is where faith really began to open up to me and really begin to, I began to see the powerful hand of God that was working on a consistent basis. So I was struggling, and a friend of mine told me one day, he said, I've got something that you need. And I said, okay. And he said, come over to the house tomorrow. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, just come over and I'll show it to you. So I go over there, and he takes me outside. When we walk out to this little building, and it had like a piece of tarp hanging across it. It was kind of like a pump house or a well house, right? And he pulls his tarp back, and he said, there it is. And I said, what is that? And he said, it's a tent. And I said, what do you mean a tent? And he said, it's a revival tent. And I said, oh, like they put up for tent revivals. He said, yeah, it's a 40 by 60. And he said, you need this in your ministry. I'm going to give it to you.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, man, that's awesome. And although at that point I'd never been to a tent revival, I said, man, that is awesome. Thank you. And I said, well, what, you know, how much, and what do you want for it? And he said, no, I'm giving it to you. I'm donating it to you. There's some chairs. They're not the best, but there's chairs, all the ropes, the stakes, everything's there. And so I get my trailer and I come over and get it. And I got it stretched out in the yard and cleaned it up. And it still had some old coal dust on it from up in the hills of West Virginia where he had been doing some revivals. And I cleaned it up, and I'm thinking, okay, now what in the world do I do? Well, my phone rang, and a guy said, I understand that you have a tent. And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, I want you to do us a revival. Would you be willing? And I said, well, of course. And So we got it set up. We're going to go in and do a 10-day revival. And so we went there, and I prayed, and God had already told me that he was turning a page for us, and that this that I'd been praying for about this manifestation of faith, and that where I said in the beginning, I'll do this, Lord, and God said, I'm going to let some of this start coming to pass. And so I was excited, and I have to admit, scared at the same time, and not knowing how it was going to go. And so we got in this tent revival, and we set up the tent. And the first night, we get started, and service is about to kick off in like 10 minutes. And somebody came running under the tent, and they said, Brother Jim, you need to come in the church. We were set up behind this little Pentecostal church out in the country and in a field that was back behind there. And they said, you got to come in here right quick. And I said, well, we're fixing to start service. They said, no, you got to come now. And I thought, man, something's bad wrong. And I told my wife, I said, come on, let's go in here. We walk in the door, and there's a lady there. And she is, when I walk through the door, she starts screaming, get him away from me, get him away from me. I'm scared of you, I'm scared of you. And I thought, and I just looked at her and I said, ma'am, you don't even know me. I mean, what do you mean you're scared of me? Have I done something to you? Have we met before? And she said, don't let him come over here, I'm scared of you. And the Lord revealed to me that she had evil spirits in her. And I just told her, I said, ma'am, you're not scared of me. You're scared of what's in me. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to engage with you right now. And they all just looked at me like, what? And I said, we're fixing to start church. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back out here to the tent. We're going to start service, and you're going to come out here and behave. And when we give the altar call, you're going to come up and get delivered. And I just turned and walked out. And this girl came up. She said, that's all you're going to do? And I said, well, why don't we give God a chance? And I just turned and we went on to the tent. We started service. And so we're sitting there in service, and I felt this power of faith begin to build in there. And there was about six preachers that were sitting there, and they were all kind of sitting with their arms crossed looking at me, and they were all sitting in a group together. And they were looking like, okay, young man, let's see what you're going to do. And I thought, well, that's strange that they would do that, you know. And so anyway, service gets started, and I looked out there, and it was a woman that had a little boy laying across her lap, and he was a Down syndrome baby, and he had some mental disabilities also. And I'm not always sure what's the appropriate verbiage right now, but he had some mental disabilities also. And I looked at him, and he was just wearing a diaper, although he was about 4 years old. And he was laying across her lap on his back with his head kind of hanging down, his legs hanging down, and he was almost blue. And so I'm up preaching, and I looked, and I saw that, and I said, ma'am, is your son okay? She said, no, we're fixing to have to leave. She said, he has these episodes, and it's a respiratory thing because he has a problem in his heart. And he's got not getting his oxygen. When we do his inhaler, if it doesn't work, we have to take him, and he has to be hospitalized. And so I said, bring him up here. Let's pray for him. And so she got him and carried him up there. And I told those preachers, I said, y'all come up here and let's anoint him with oil and let's pray over this young man. They just sat there. They nodded no. And I thought, well, okay, well, I'm going to pray for him anyway. And so I got the oil, and my wife got her guitar. She started playing. I laid hands on him, and just maybe 10, 15 seconds, and his skin was real cool when I laid hands on him because his blood circulation was so low. Wasn't getting oxygen into him. I laid hands on him, and I felt his skin start warming up, and that blueness began to go away. His eyes were extremely bloodshot, and they just cleared up just like that. And he went running around the tent then. I mean, and he was playing. He was a four-year-old. Then I'm thinking, okay, calm that kid down. He's going to tear my tent up out here. And so we saw God just touch him, just boom, like that. And everybody saw it. And about, maybe a minute after that, here come another young man up the center aisle, and he's kind of sniffing like, and what I thought was it looked like that mama, he had done something, and his mama had give him a spanking or something, and told him, you get down there and get prayer, I mean, that's what it looked like. And I thought, well, man, that's not how you should use the altar, ma'am. But, and I didn't see or hear any of that, but that's what he looked like. He was like he was crying. And I said, son, you need prayer? And he just nodded his head yes. And so I didn't ask any questions. I just, again, just got the oil and just laid hands on him. And he turned away from me, and he ran to the back of the tent. And we had one of those large trash cans back there. And he threw up in the trash can.
Come on.
And I thought, wow. And his family over there started shouting. And it ended up, what was happening was he was having an extreme asthma attack. Now, this is a brother to the little boy, an older brother. He was about 12. And he ran and he threw up all this phlegm and stuff out of his lungs. It came out just like that. And immediately he was healed. And again, the second time I tried to get these preachers to come help, they wouldn't come. And then it was just, it was a powerful manifestation. Everybody saw it. And then, so we go back, now they're trying to shout, and I go back to my message and I keep preaching. I couldn't tell you what I was preaching about. Sometimes we get too hung up on what we're saying and not what God's doing. Right. And so, Then a third young man, which was another brother in this family, he came walking up the center aisle, and he's kind of holding his head. And so I looked at those guys again, and before I even said anything, they're shaking their head like, no. Now, okay, that's fine. So I said, son, you need prayer. And he said, yeah. He just nodded, yeah. And his mother spoke up, and she said, he's having a migraine headache, and his eyes – he's farsighted in one eye, and he's nearsighted in the other eye, and it keeps switching. And I knew that it was something demonic that was going on. And his eyes, Brother Ken, were wandering off. One would wander, point this way and that way, and it was so erratic. I mean, it was hard to look at. And his eye, they couldn't fit him with glasses, because his eyes kept changing. Then he'd be nearsighted in the other eye and farsighted in, nearsighted in the right side, farsighted in the left, and then it would be vice versa. Maybe, randomly 10 minutes later or an hour later, and he would get these migraines when he would have these episodes. So I'm looking at his eyes, and what's going on in this kid's head is it is demonic. And I have to admit, I kind of got a lump in my throat, like, oh, my God. But how many knows that the God that heals the headache can remove the demonic also? And
so,
and that same spirit can raise the dead. And so it's not of our power that we do this. It's by faith and the unmovable power of faith. And so I anointed him with oil. I still believe in that. I anointed him with oil, and within 30 seconds, I saw him just relax, and his eyes, it was so, I'll never forget the look. His eyes straightened up, and they looked at me, and he had his glasses off, and both eyes looked at me, and they were clear, they were focused. And I said, your headache's gone, isn't it? And he said, yes. And he started crying. And I told him, I said, look at me. Don't look away, because he was kind of collapsing and crying. I said, look up here. Don't turn away yet. And I said, we need to secure this. And we just continued. And see, I believe there's three things that we do, is that we we cancel the assignment of the devil. We command the demon and we close the gate. And
that's right.
we had canceled, we had commanded, and then we prayed this wall of protection around him. And so and the boy was healed. He didn't even need glasses after that. Hallelujah. And needless to say, about that time the message was over, it erupted. We had Holy Ghost Church. And so God then confirmed in me, this is faith. This is faith. And made sure that I understand I didn't do any of that. Every bit of that was done by the power of God, because we had taken the time and prayed and heard from God and walked in that faith. Oh, I don't want to leave this out. And when the altar service really kicked in after that, the woman that had been in the church did come out and sat in a chair at the back of the tent, and had sat there through this whole time, and nervous as a cat. But then I looked at her, and she got up and walked down front. And brother, this was like Mary Magdalene. The things that come out of her, I can't even begin to list. And she followed us in our ministry for several years after that. But she was miraculously delivered of all of that demonic stuff that had her bound. And so it was a great launching there. And God reminded me, he said, you have taken on a great, great responsibility. And do not waver from continuing in prayer and fastings, and do not waver from continuing to get that instruction. See, one of the things I'm persuaded, Brother Ken, that Moses, where Moses missed the mark, was there was a time that God would speak to Moses, and Moses would go to the people and tell them what God said. The people would petition Moses, and Moses would go to God and tell God what was going on. And then he was that middleman between the people and God. But then there came a time where the people came to Moses, and Moses said, oh, I know what to do. And, you know, when we get in that place, that's a slippery slope right there. That's a dangerous place. When we get in a place there where we decide that we know what to do. And so we need to always continue to get our instruction from heaven, and never get to the point that we decide that, oh, I know how to have church. I don't have to, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to pray right now, you know, or I'm in a hurry and I don't have time, or, you know, and I've said about fasting that, you know what, fasting would be easy if you didn't get so hungry. And, but we do, don't we? I had a preacher friend of mine. He used to always say, his name was, everybody called him Brother Mac. And they said, Brother Mac, you know, because he had done a good bit of fasting. They said, do you ever see visions when you fast? And he said, oh, yeah, usually by about the second day. And they said, really? He said, oh, yeah, I see cheeseburgers, pork chops, onion rings, and, you know, I have visions of all those things. He said, but it takes a while to get the visions of God.
Have you ever noticed that you got a fast that everybody and their brother wants to take you out for lunch?
Ain't that the truth? Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. You were talking about the boy with his eyes. I have been ministering for over 35 years. Had a small church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I had a young man who was born cross-eyed. I mean, he was cross-eyed. I used to joke about it. I don't like joking about it anymore because it wasn't nice. But he came in one day and said, Pastor, you think God would heal my eyes? And I took a second to listen. The Lord said, yes. I said, yes. So I prayed for him. And after we got done praying, he looked at me and he was still cross-eyed. Okay. So he went in to talk to my wife in the kitchen. I don't know, about 15 minutes later, Jim, I heard my wife screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, you know, if you hear your wife screaming, oh, my God, the first thing you do is you get up and you run in her to her direction, which is what I did. And she says, as I was talking to him, his eyes went boop, just as straight as an arrow.
Ain't that just like Jesus?
Yeah,
amen.
And every once in a while, the eyes would try to cross again. I just point at him and say, in the name of Jesus, straighten up. Those eyes will go right back to being straight again. But,
That's right.
But you were talking about it, as far as faith goes, you know, faith is blind. It really is. You cannot use your human eyes and apply faith. You have to use your spiritual eyes. You have to use what
says
faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you got to know the word of God so you can build your faith. My first 34 years of ministry, I probably saw 25, 30 really awesome miracles over the years.
Yeah.
God sent me to the North Georgia Revival on May 5th last year. And oh my goodness, I went there with great expectations too, Jim. I thought I'd get, you know, chill bumps, all my chill bumps and electricity running through my body. I'd get slain in the spirit and roll down the aisle over. I was there with great expectations.
Sure.
But what had happened at North Georgia Revival was Pastor Todd had seen an open vision of fire going across the baptistry. So I went there to get rebaptized, and I went to get a bottle of that oil that was leaking from a Bible.
Right.
And like I said, I was there with great expectations. And what had happened was nothing. I got wet. That was it. No electricity, you know, no rolling down the aisle, nothing.
Yeah.
I just got wet. But the next day, I had the opportunity to pray for a woman who'd had a stroke with the evidence of it, you know, dragging the foot, left arm locked up. In 20 minutes, all evidence of that stroke was gone.
Wow.
We stopped at a restaurant. Young boy couldn't hear. I asked him if I could pray for him. Instantly, his ears got restored.
Amen.
And from that day to now, we have seen over 700 miracles.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Many of them documented, including a woman in California. Heart problems in her heart. God gave her a new heart. God gave me a repaired heart.
Amen.
But
I
used to believe I had to do things a certain way. Okay, we had to be a methodology to it. And what God is doing now, we are definitely in the last days because He said He'd pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And if you are spirit filled, you know God's coming because you're spirit.
Right.
And what I am seeing across the board, now what I used to believe, the things I used to believe, God has shown me that you can't put them in a box. He said the only thing
there you can
put in a box is a dead man's bones, not him. And
that's right.
Nowadays, He is healing people. You know, I do a lot of internet ministry. I do a lot of phone calls. And I can't tell
you
how many times I have picked up the phone to call somebody, and when they answer, they go, when the phone rang, the anointing fell in the room, and I'm already healed. I didn't have to say a prayer one. I saw him do that on one-to-one in front of me. There was a man who had a leg about 6-7 inches shorter than the other. And it's a long story. I've told way too many times on this show, but to make a long story short, I put a drop of oil on his forehead. When I looked down, his legs were absolutely even. We didn't even
Hallelujah.
Pray. Yes, we didn't even pray for him. And it even happens on my live Facebook programs. There are people getting healed. We never say a prayer for them. God is just moving.
He's moving.
I believe with all my heart that He wants the world to know that He is, as you said earlier, the same yesterday and forever. He does not change. And He is healing people left and right. I have watched certain friends of mine who are just coming up in their faith, just beginning to build their faith. And all of a sudden they're out there and they're doing programs on Facebook Live where they're praying for the healings of others. And these people are getting healed. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's because you said the key to it a minute ago. We have nothing to do with it.
That's
all
it.
Jesus. It's all Jesus. As I was saying, when you get to the understanding that it's all Jesus, and all you have to do is be willing to speak on his behalf, he's going to do it. It isn't up to us. It's up to him. And
that's it.
It is exciting. I mean, beyond exciting. I tell people, and my heart is for tent revival. I want a tent so bad, Jim, make your head spin.
I love it. There's nothing like it. I love it. I love it.
I want to get out there and do it. I know that the harvest field is ripe, and I call it show and tell. I want to go out there and show the power of God and then tell them about the kingdom.
Brother Ken, people will come to a tent that won't come to a church house because they've been wounded, they're afraid, whatever the case may be. And, Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if one of the things so powerful about living by faith and these miracles that happen is when we make sure that God gets the glory, that it's the righteousness of God revealed and not what we perceive as our righteousness, right? And if we don't try to steal God's glory, then God will keep the flow going. And we've seen the dead raised three times. And one of them was actually my wife. And called her back from the dead about a year and a half ago. And right there in our house. You know, one thing, too, that a trap that I think that the church falls into is so many people say, and I've had, I've told people about things and they've said, do you have that documented? Well, you know what? It doesn't matter to me if it's documented or not. I believe if I see somebody healed, I don't have to have documentation. They don't have to tell me that they had this or had that. Or, we was in a revival in Baker's Chapel, just south of Smithfield, North Carolina, last year in October. And God completely realigned the man's lungs. And I've told that testimony before. Whenever I laid hands on him and I told him, I felt it. I felt that word of prophecy to him that God is realigning your lungs right now. We saw the manifestation of it. He got off his inhalers. He went back to work in the yard. He couldn't work in the yard 15 minutes or 20 minutes without having to sit down because he couldn't get air. And he worked the whole next day in the yard, came to church that night, inhaling, exhaling. Well, I don't have to see an x-ray of that. We saw a woman in Delaware, Dover, Delaware, healed of spina bifida that had never walked. And I didn't know this when she came down. She obviously needed prayer. She had spina bifida and extreme scoliosis, and her body was bent over at probably about a 30 to 45 degree angle and twisted from the hips to her shoulders. Was almost an S curve, and so she walked almost sideways, and she had the braces, the crutches that had the braces that come up on the forearms, and we prayed for her, and I didn't ask her what she needed. Obviously, the woman needed prayer, right? She came down, and she said, she did say, I'm hurting, and so I prayed for her. She came back the next night. When she walked through the door, everybody started hooping and hollering and squealing, and I saw her coming in. I'll never forget. The woman's name was Mary. She came in and I leaned over to the pastor and I said, wow, they're pretty glad Mary's here. he said, no, you don't understand. And she was still bent over and still kind of twisted. He said, Mary's never walked without crutches. And she was up in her 30s. And he said, she's never in her life walked without crutches. And then by the third night, her body was starting to straighten up, and she was standing taller, and got it. That healing was, and every night when she'd walk through the door, everybody would just go crazy, right? And because Mary was, she was still struggling, she was still hurting, but God was straightening that body. Hallelujah. And there is no limitation. There's no limitation to what God can do, because it's His ability, not ours, that does these things. And because of His manifestation, because we took the time, we prayed, we walked by faith, and we give God the glory, whether He's raising the dead, whether He's healing the sick, or whether He's converting a sinner to a saint. Either way, you know, Brother Bert Clendenin from School of Christ, Victory Temple down in Beaumont, Texas, he used to say, you know, the church will jump and shout when God straightens a crooked ankle, but do they have the same shout when He straightens out a crooked soul? You know, that's nonetheless powerful. You know, God took an old sinner like me and put me on a path of righteousness, not mine, but His. And, brother, people look at me now, they have no idea. But the miracle that's happened, man, I was a lost ball in high weeds. But God reached in. But God reached in. All of us. He said, while we were yet sinners, He loved us. And I'm just so grateful. So grateful for the power of God, and I want to walk worthy to the calling that He's put in my life, and because of that, you know, the old song says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow."
And, amen.
We have this hope.
Here, bro.
Yes, sir.
One thing I always want to do on each and every program is invite people to come to know Jesus, which to me is the greatest miracle of all. All the healings that we see and all the miracles we see are wonderful. But the greatest miracle is when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you're listening today,
that's it,
and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, well, today is the day of salvation. Time is running short. Heaven is real and hell is real.
Yes.
Right now, you can make an eternal decision to be in heaven with Jesus Christ and avoid hell. And all you have to do, you know, in Romans, they call it the Roman road to salvation. Basically, all you have to do is confess that you're a sinner, and everybody is. Everyone on earth is a sinner. And believe that Jesus Christ died and 3 days later rose again on that cross, and He's alive today, sitting at the right hand of God. Just ask Him. Say, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I need You. I want You to be my Savior, and I will dedicate my life to You. Ask Him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be in no church. You don't have to have no long prayer. All you have to do is believe He is real and ask Him into your heart. Also, we have a caller on the line who is having problems with vertigo. She said she believes it's because of the weather that's going on in North Carolina this morning. So I was wondering if you would pray for Stacy. Stacy Miller, good morning.
Yes,
hey.
Yes, yes. Stacy,
We're running out of time, so Jim, go ahead.
All right. Lord, we just lift Stacy up to You this morning, God, and we speak to this vertigo right now according to the power of, that You've invested in us, God. And Lord, we speak not of our own authority, but Your authority speaking through us, and I command right now this vertigo, leave her body. And God, that she would, that her balance and her sense of well-being, Lord, would be reestablished right now in the name of Jesus. And God, and that it's done in a way that she knows that it was You. It's not just a coincidental thing or a momentary thing, but that whole situation would be corrected in her right now. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I was just going to close down the program because I have another scheduled program here in just a few minutes. But go ahead and give your last comment. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that, as you said, that the faith to receive salvation is one of the greatest miracles of all. We can make it into heaven with a lame body, but we can't without salvation. And
amen.
So I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for what you do here to the world. Thank you so much, Brother Ken, for inviting me today.
Well, thank you, Apostle Jed Maddox. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Unfortunately,
love you
too. Because of my really strange schedule today, I've got to go. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Be blessed and be a blessing. We'll talk to you later now. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
You have been listening to The Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to The Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.